Hello, funky listeners.
Hello.
We're back. Nobody asked for us, but we're here anyway.
We're like that rash that keeps showing up that you just can't get rid of. our new slogan for the year.
That's your host, Kyle.
And that's your host, Peter. If you've been listening to us for more than 4 hours, please consult your doctor.
I don't think anyone has ever listened to us for more than 4 hours.
Yeah. They
or for more than 4 minutes, to be honest.
I was going
to
say they actually play us in Guantanamo Bay to torture the prisoners.
Oh, my God. Well, God, terrible. Just the thought of that is hilarious to me for some reason.
I know, right? Speaking of terrible things that, I guess, died or should have died.
All right.
We have a pretty interesting retro tech episode.
And this is actually one that that was within our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Because often when we talk about like old weird music tech, it's stuff from, half a century ago or something.
Exactly. If you remember, listeners, we've talked about weird, random audio tech that either was ahead of its time or just a complete flop.
Usually both.
Usually both in prior episodes, including the weird 45 player inside of cars. We talked about that giant, I forget what it was called at this point, that like giant.
Oh, the telharmonium.
Yes, thank you. That giant organ thing, whatever it was.
That played music through people's telephones.
Yeah. But this one is actually a piece of tech that most of our listeners probably would remember to some degree, especially if they either were kids in the 90s or had kids in the 90s. And that is the hit clip.
Hit it! Coming at you right between the ears is hit clips. Music to get you grooving. Hit clips is a slick micro audio system. This tight package is small, pumps out monster sound. Like this, we clip, 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 and sample songs, so only the groove sticks. Plus, with the micro boombox, load the mother load. Some of these songs available now. More this fall, you can collect them all. Hit clips, each sold separately.
I remember these as a kid, but I don't ever remember owning one. I don't know about you, Peter. I remember they were around the same time as like Tamagotchis and all that handheld shit.
Right, yeah. I want to say maybe my sister had a handful of these, but it was never a big if, because I know I've seen them in real life, so my sister must have had some, but it was never a big deal, or it was never quite the fad that they wanted it to be. Yeah. Where you're collecting all the songs.
So yeah, listeners, for those of you that don't know, just a brief summary: hit clips were created as, I guess, a digital audio format for kids, introduced by this maker called Tiger Electronics.
I guess the full run of when they were producing these was from 1999 to 2003. I would have guessed that it was earlier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it makes sense. 2003 was a long time ago.
Yeah. But yeah, this maker, Tiger Electronics, made these sort of mini audio players that would often come in a variety of different sort of shapes and styles, such as like a mini boombox that had like a little built-in speaker, or versions that looked like an MP3 player that came with like an earphone. If I remember correctly, they actually came with like a mono earphone.
Yeah.
Because the tracks themselves were only in mono, which is hilarious. Right. And yeah, basically, I think I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but I think that the ultimate death of these things, especially as I said, they made them to look like MP3 players, is that they came out right at the same time as the iPod.
Right.
And the iPod obviously completely revolutionized music. What do you call it? Ingestion.
Right.
And these just always kind of seemed like a cheap, childish gimmick. Not that they probably weren't pseudo-intended to be like a cheap alternative, but even as a parent, it's like, why would you buy your kid this crappy little thing and not just buy him a cheap iPod?
Yeah, well, I mean, regarding, well, actually what I was saying a minute or two ago about the time of this, you know, 99 to 03, like you said, the iPod, I don't remember exactly what was it, 2001 maybe, that the first one came out?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, that was, the whole MP3 boom was just starting, and even, I think, you know, the iPod did come out, but there were still a lot of competitors that actually were out there, you know, like MP3 players were a thing. Nowadays, you would never hear the term MP3 player. You would hear iPod, even if it wasn't necessarily an iPod.
Yeah,
it's even, always become ubiquitous. Even iPods aren't really around as much anymore. So it was a very interesting time, I guess. But yeah, I mean, MP3 players were starting to become like an actual popular thing on the market. Mm-hmm. For that reason, I think they were financially like out of reach of just everybody. Like you wouldn't get your 10-year-old, you know, a $300 MP3 player.
True.
Which is why I guess this is kind of a fun toned down version of a similar technology. While not quite the same technology, but it is sort of along the same lines.
Mm-hmm. I do vaguely remember these things. I remember that these devices were becoming really popular at the same time as the kind of peak of the 90s pop phase, you know, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees, whatever. So because of that, I vaguely do remember seeing commercials for these on like Nickelodeon and stuff, where they would often play these silly music videos. I remember that was a weird time too, because yeah, Nickelodeon and Disney and stuff would play music videos of pop artists to try to compete with MTV, which I always thought was kind of weird.
This was also around the time, I believe the Wikipedia page might have referenced this, that this was also around the time when Radio Disney was a thing.
I vaguely remember that.
And it was, the hit clips were promoted. It says hit clips was first promoted by McDonald's, Radio Disney, and Lunchables.
Like, did you get like hit clips in your Happy Meal or something? Were they
actually? Yeah, that's something I did. Another, something else. I'm a Wikipedia. You know, I don't like to use that as a primary source, but I did read.
I do.
Yeah, longtime listeners know. I didn't know, but apparently they made their debut as Happy Meal toys.
Huh.
Hit clips, and then I guess after that they kind of. Apparently, they were popular enough of an idea that they spawned into their own product.
That's interesting.
That's something I never knew.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I was all about that McDonald's as a kid. Motherfucking Szechuan sauce. Sorry. I actually do remember that sauce very, very vividly because...
Yeah, you know, they mentioned that in Rick and Morty. I've never heard of that.
That's exactly why I'm mentioning it.
But like, so what was it exactly?
It was this sort of dipping sauce that they came out with for a very limited time in partnership with the release of Mulan in, I think, 98. And it was a dipping sauce you can get with your chicken nuggets that was called Szechuan sauce. But basically, it was kind of just like a spicy teriyaki sauce. Kind of that sweet and spicy spicy taste. And when it came out, I freaking loved that shit. Because usually when I would get chicken nuggets, I would get barbecue. Because I don't know why I always like dipping in barbecue. Yeah. But once that came out, I'm like, oh my god, this is better than barbecue. And then they discontinued it, and I was really sad. And then this stupid show, Rick and Morty, not stupid, but it's just funny that they mentioned this on Rick and Morty. And me and apparently, obviously, everyone in my generation was just like, what the fuck, I remember that too.
That's really funny.
It's like the ultimate nostalgia meme.
Oh god, yeah. So I had never actually heard of that, and when they mentioned it in the show, this was probably a few weeks ago that they aired that. But I wasn't quite sure whether he was making that up or whether it was real.
It was very real.
That's really funny.
In fact, there's a YouTube video I found where some guy tried to recreate the sauce in three different ways. One, he made like a traditional Szechuan sauce with Szechuan peppers, which are very spicy. One, I forget how he did it. He like mixed like soy sauce and some other shit. And then one, he basically just took McDonald's sweet and sour sauce and barbecue sauce and mixed it together. And he's like, this is honestly probably what they did because it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
But he,
that's pretty funny.
He liked the one that he handmade more, but again, it's because it's, you know, handmade sauce.
Right.
But it was funny. If I stumble across it again, I'll post it up on our Funk page on Facebook for you guys.
That sounds relevant.
Completely.
So very roughly, I guess Hit Clips were around the same time
in
McDonald's
sauce.
As the Szechuan sauce.
Sort of.
Like you said near the beginning of the episode, a lot of people probably remember these one way or another. For those of you, maybe if we have younger listeners, I have no idea. If you're young enough to not know what these are, you probably shouldn't be listening to us anyway. but I'll just really quickly, for anyone who maybe who just doesn't know, I'll explain in more detail what this system actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Kyle, there were a lot of like different of these players that were of different shapes and sizes. Usually, I think they were probably about pocket size-ish. And so these little memory cards that were probably only, I don't even know if they were like a square inch or whatever, or roughly around that, they'd be on these little key rings and you'd collect them and each one would have a one minute cut of a popular song. So it wouldn't even be an entire song. It would just be about 60 seconds
really
of it.
Funny.
Hence the name Clips of Hit Clips.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think, couldn't you clip them onto your pants or something?
Yeah, I think
I feel like it was something like that, some kind of connection. Well, there too.
I think they had like the discs or whatever square things themselves had little holes in them, so you can clip them onto like a key ring or something.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
can keep them all together.
Yeah,
but I might be wrong.
So no, yeah, so it was something along those lines. So they, over the 4 years or so that they produced these things, they made just over 50 songs in this format. And as you mentioned, artists that they included were NSYNC, Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Pink. They actually do have the full list of songs that they released. They have Baha Men,
oh,
Aaron
God.
Carter, Destiny's Child. I did notice they have like a few. They strangely have like a handful of just like older songs from like the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
More along the lines of music that we would talk about on this show. But the vast majority of it was, you know, late 90s pop sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever was popular with their demographic. An interesting quote I found in regards to that, mm-hmm. And kind of the reactions to Hit Clips in general was, once again, Wikipedia, thanks for being a thing. I also want to do a shout out to obsoletemedia.org. They don't have like very in-depth information on old music tech, but they have enough that it definitely helped us with some of the details of these products.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we've been getting some of the information here. So I want to shout out to them as well. Anyway, so this quote I found about the reception, it says, quote, "Reaction to Hit Clips was mixed. Many commentators stated that they would rather spend their money on an MP3 player or they already owned a boombox/CD player. This suggests that Hit Clips failed to effectively compete with the more expensive, albeit higher quality market. Also, the commentators make several references to MP3 players stating, quote, I say save your money for a real MP3 player. This suggests that the rise of the MP3 tech, along with other factors, compounded to lead to Hit Clips' demise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, I think, again, like I said earlier, at the time, MP3 players were generally costing enough that they weren't really in direct competition with this. I think they kind of had different audiences they were targeting,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion anyway. But I thought this was an interesting perspective of that at least some people were saying, why would I, you know, spend, let's just say $30 on a thing that can play 60-second clips of specific songs when I can get an MP3 player that can hold, you know, hundreds of songs.
To jump into the economics of that, do you know roughly how much each one of those little Hit Clip songs were price-wise?
I have no idea, honestly. I'm going to guess that for one song it was maybe, you know, $5 or something. Or maybe $3 or $4. I know sometimes they came in groups of, like, you could get a package of three, either all by the same artist or, you know, following a certain theme. I don't actually know what they costed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can get all this stuff on eBay. We actually, listeners, we did contemplate whether we would buy some of these and do a more like hands-on review of Hit Clips, but we decided it wasn't really worth it.
Yeah, we'd rather spend our money on other on more stupid things than Hit Clips. Yeah.
Like paying bills.
Yeah, and you know, having a roof over our heads. Yeah, and again, that may have also been a similar kind of barrier to entry, is the overall cost of producing these clips made forced them to charge more for a clip than you could possibly otherwise get a digital song on iTunes for.
Yeah, and you have to think too that you know, something that probably wouldn't be the first thing to come to mind, but also music licensing as well, especially for songs that were like number one songs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that licensing those songs probably wasn't the cheapest thing in the world. I mean, I'm sure it paid for itself in, you know, how many people bought them because of that popularity, but I don't know. I have no idea what like the cost of any of this was at the time.
Yeah. Something else I want to point out just as a general technology thing to kind of be amazed about is, sure, these Hit Clips that came out in 99, 2000, held 60 seconds of audio. Now, right, and obviously audio in mono, so it's not high quality audio. So my guess is these held roughly like maybe a megabyte of storage, right? Now, 17 years later, you can get a 128 gigabyte flash card for $45, $50,
yeah,
that could literally hold 20, 30, 40,000 songs in their entirety, yeah, in better quality. So, I don't know, I'm just kind of amazed at how technology has grown in, what, 17 years?
No, yeah, definitely. Well, I was thinking before you said that too, that this is kind of like the antithesis to what we've talked about before with like high resolution audio players,
mm-hmm,
and that sort of thing, where, you know, they're basically MP3 players that are higher quality than regular MP3. They're, you know, FLAC or some other kind of format that's supposedly better. Hit Clips is like a complete opposite of that.
Yeah. But again, it's targeted towards kids. It's meant to be cheap.
They're not going to care. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care. These are meant to be durable, carry around things that kids have at clipped to their backpack or something at school. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It did seem that along these lines, there was in the late 90s and early 2000s this fascination with like miniaturization of things that you could like clip onto you. There was this.
Mm-hmm.
There was like the Tamagotchi things. Do you remember Yak Back? Remember that thing where you could record your voice and play it back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, similar thing. It would, like, distort your voice when you played it back. I remember I have one of those.
Wasn't this also when, like, Neopets was a thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Were those the same, like, similar to the other one you mentioned?
Exactly. And all these, like, goofy miniature kid-targeted electronics, like, suddenly just exploded. I kind of miss my Tamagotchi. I had a couple of them, and I had the Pikachu one. They came out with a Pikachu one when Pokemon was popular.
So regarding what I was saying a minute or two ago about how adults basically were comparing these to MP3 players at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the technology, like I said, they're similar, but not quite the same. So I was just kind of going down the rabbit hole thought-wise with that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question I wanted to pose to you was, like, if MP3 players at that time were not commercially really available yet to the mass market, if they were still, like, say 5 years away, but Hit Clips were around, do you think Hit Clips as a format could have grown in itself and lasted longer than it did?
I think it could.
They could have eventually featured full songs, you know?
It may have lasted longer, but I think the physicality of the medium would have ultimately led to its demise no matter when digital music came out. I don't think, like if you're saying, okay, the iPod didn't come out until say 2006 or 7, whatever. Hit Clips probably would have lasted for 3 or 4 years longer, but the inevitability of moving to digital only music would have meant its demise no matter when it happened. I don't think it would have
right.
lasted so long as no one would have thought, hey, let's digitize this, you know?
Yeah.
Let's make
No, and it's not even necessarily that I'm implying that, like, oh, that would have become a standard or something. I'm just curious, like...
But no, I think you're
I was just trying to think, like, what... How would it have played out differently had they been more relevant, I guess, at the time?
I think that they would have lasted longer. Maybe not a lot longer, but they would have become... they would have become more ubiquitous in that maybe they would have targeted, you know, adults or teenagers or whatever at some point, rather than being right. aimed as a cheap alternative to MP3s for children.
Right.
You know.
I think this is a good kind of transition into the fact that Hit Clips did actually last a year longer beyond 2003 in a form that neither of us knew about until doing research here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, from obsoletemedia.org. Thank you. There's a page that says, quote, despite the name Hit Clips Discs, which is what they were called in this second iteration, they were still memory cards on a key ring, but were round in shape. So it's essentially the exact same format, but the chips were just round instead of square. And I want to say the players were trying to emulate CD players in their appearance
mm-hmm.
versus a boombox or something.
Mm-hmm.
It says, although the songs on the format were still edited versions, they were longer in length, with up to 120 seconds available.
Ooh.
They were still in mono with poor sound quality, and only around 22 songs mm-hmm. were released on that format in the year that it was around before it disappeared. So, I mean, Hit Clips did last a year longer than what we've been saying, mm-hmm. Just in a slightly different format.
Yeah, like they tried to adapt to some degree. You know,
although it's funny that even by 2004, to try to appeal to current technology by emulating CDs.
Yeah, I know, right?
I remember
specifically 2004, the iPod Mini came out, and that was my first MP3 player. When I was in eighth grade, every kid that was like worth their salt had an iPod Mini, and I think they were like 4 gigabytes of storage or something, which back then was like, oh my familiar. God, you could have like 1,000 songs. That felt like an infinity. I just think it's so funny that the same year that came out, Hit Clips was like trying to revamp their product to be more hip. Hip Clips.
To be like CDs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. which is funny because it kind of emulates like one step behind the original technology of Hit Clips, which mm-hmm. was already digital to begin with. Then they're like, hey, let's make it look like something older. I guess if they had been given even more time, they probably would have made ones that looked more like cassettes or something.
Well, here's my curiosity. If they would have stayed around and if Apple wouldn't have crushed it with the digital medium, would they have would they have maybe eventually had like a Hit Clip that was a full album? You know, like would that be the new physical medium right. for albums? It's just a small memory chip thing that would right. Replace CDs. That's an interesting thought.
Well, I guess that's along the lines of what I was asking a few minutes ago about, like, you know, could that format have lasted longer?
Yeah.
In different circumstances. I don't know if doing... I don't necessarily think albums would have happened. I think, personally, I think full songs might have happened at some point. I mean, because even by the time these things finally died, they were up to 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And for a popular song, you're usually between 3 and 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So given another year or so, they probably could have put a full song on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I find it so funny that, like, you know, we see digital media storage evolving almost exponentially
yeah.
in its available space. And yet Hit Clips couldn't kind of break through that barrier and lasted like a year or two longer. I mean, if that had lasted by 2005, they had, you know, 1 gigabyte flash drives. You just compress that down and boom, you got enough for an album easily.
Right.
So I don't know.
But again, maybe not at the cost that they were.
Yeah, exactly. At the cost they were aiming for.
Target kids for. Yeah.
Mass production or whatever. And that's a good point. The cost of, you know, digital only, music medium that you just download to an iPod or an MP3 player is far cheaper than producing a physical plastic like memory storage device. Yeah, and
yeah.
Who knows if that was what the cost was of doing that compared to a full CD, because CDs, as we know, have become, just in like the last 2 or 3 years, I think digital records or digital music outpaced CDs for sales, which surprised me.
It doesn't surprise me at this point.
Which surprised me a little bit when I heard it, because I'm like, I didn't realize that so many people were still listening to CDs, but it's true.
Oh, you were surprised that it had only been a couple of years?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Oh, I see.
I was surprised initially to hear that people were still buying CDs more in gross than digital.
I see.
But who knows? Maybe they were buying them and then burning them. I don't know. Yeah, it's funny to, as you were saying, this medium was trying to become the evolution of CDs. And yet, as you said, with the hit clips, discs, they were mimicking CDs. It's just, it's a weird, yeah. It was a weird time for music technology, I guess.
Well, when I first saw the name Hit Clips Disc, I thought that was interesting because, like, I imagined it being actual miniature discs, you know, maybe an inch across or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But it makes more sense, and it also disappoints me a little bit to know that they were still just little, you know, memory card cartridges,
mm-hmm.
With data on them. It wasn't an actual, you know, disc that spun around. So that disappointed me a little.
I know, me too. Bit. Yeah. I was going to say, if you remember, I think this was about the same time, actually, like 2005 or 2006, the first PlayStation Portable came out. And it was weird. It was like a hybrid disc cartridge. Where it was a miniature disc that had a full video game on it, but it was in like this case that you slid in to the back of the device like a cartridge, I guess. But they had that technology, to, you know, a miniaturized disc to store a game a year later, and obviously even back then game data was far larger than music data, so. It just felt like Hit Clips, above all else, was aiming for the cheap factor, so they weren't pushing the technology factor of what they were doing. You know?
No, and I don't think that was ever their intention.
True. Yeah, no, I think...
Given the nature that they were basically a toy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at their base, they were a toy that kids got in Happy Meals to get kids listening to pop music that when they didn't have MP3s or their parents didn't buy them CDs all the time. I think you're right. Yeah, at its very essence, it was a children's toy. It was never meant to push the boundaries of music technology. It was just an interesting fad for, you know, half a decade, maybe.
Yeah, and it's just, I guess I find it interesting to talk about it in that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, and I don't know, I'm trying to think, like, I guess, do you, I mean, what would, yeah, because I'm just trying to think, like, what would, are there any kind of equivalent technologies at the time that were a similar system? But I think we've kind of run the gamut now of saying that MP3 was already becoming
big.
It was at that time, it was the up and coming, like, dominant format already, so our cartridges of any kind would already be kind of out of the way.
True, true. Yeah, I mean, cartridges have stayed around a long time for things like video games. I mean, shit, right. the new Nintendo Switch still uses cartridges. They just look like little, they look like hit clips. They look like little tiny memory chips. Which, by the way, apparently, this is really funny, for the Nintendo Switch, they made the label on those little chips have a very bad taste to keep children from eating them.
Oh,
because they're so
smart,
small.
I guess.
So when the device came out, I was watching some reviews of it. Reviewers were like licking the cartridges
to see
what they tasted like, and I guess they have like a really bad bitter taste. But it's just funny that Nintendo literally thought like, "Hey, let's make this taste bad so kids don't swallow our games."
That's really funny. I was gonna go look at images of this thing. Mm-hmm. I typed in Nintendo Switch cartridge, and the very first thing that comes up is Kotaku. Nintendo Switch cartridges taste so bad. So yeah, I mean, these things look like mini SD memory cards or something.
Yeah,
almost.
I mean, that's essentially probably what they are, just a proprietary version.
See, I assume that they were... I haven't really looked into the Nintendo Switch at all. I just assumed they were using discs like the Wii did.
I was gonna say I'm really torn on the Switch, not to go off pace a little bit, because it's basically meant to be both a handheld and a home console in one. But I'm curious if they're going to use it to replace the Nintendo DS or 3DS, whatever. If it goes that direction, I'll probably end up getting one because I've always had a portable Nintendo device. I mean, I still have a 2DS right now. So if it ends up replacing the DS down the line, yeah, I'll pick one up. But as of right now, it's not getting awesome reviews. It doesn't have a ton of good games for it. I think it just has Zelda and Mario Kart 8. But I guess we'll see where it goes. It's an interesting concept. It's a really interesting concept to kind of combine both, you know, a home console and a portable console into one device. But it's Nintendo, so they'll probably F it up somehow. Don't get me wrong, I like Nintendo and I love a lot of the games they have, but aside from the Wii, it seems like every console where they tried to push some sort of technological boundary, it usually kind of falls on its face a little bit. Some other kind of pseudo random tangent I wanted to go on that's sort of relevant to what we're talking about, because as you were saying, these hit clips were meant as a toy, as a music toy for children, right? Well,
right.
The new Guardians of the Galaxy 2 movie is coming out here in a couple weeks, or a week, I guess. And one of the toys that came out was a Bluetooth speaker that looks like the cassette Walkman that Star-Lord has.
Oh, that's awesome.
But what's funny is it comes with those old foam over-ear headphones that you would get with, like, old CD players or Walkmans from, like, the 80s and 90s. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they had the goofy little, like, shitty foam covers. I don't know what they're called. It comes with that. So you can literally plug your phone into this toy and listen to your music from your phone through the toy on inferior headphones to mimic...
That's pretty cool.
...an old 80s Walkman. And if that is not the height of, like, child hipster, I don't know what is. But I guess apparently along with that, similar to the Yak Back thing I was telling you about, you can record your own voice and play it back and it, like, distorts it or something. So it's literally like a bunch of 90s kids' toys rolled into one, like, nostalgic piece of crap.
That's really funny.
So it's just funny because, yeah, in 2017, almost 20 years after the hit clip, they're still developing this kid-centric music technology like that.
But it's just funny something because, I wanted to ask, yeah. Like, in response to that is, like, on the top of your head, can you think of any, like, what other, like, kid-centric music toys can you think of?
I remember my cousin had, like, a kid karaoke thing. You know, you could put... If I remember, you could, like, put CD... I don't remember if it was CDs or if it was some sort of proprietary music device, but you could play music through it, and it came with, like, a little head... Like, what do you call it? Microphone that you could talk into that kind of made your voice echo, so you could sing along with it. It's a stupid kid thing, but that's all it was. It was just a basic children's portable karaoke machine of some sort.
Beyond that, like, I'm trying to think of any that were, like, widespread. I mean, like, because Hit Clips was a pretty big deal.
I really can't think of any. But again, you know, by 2005, I was 15. I wasn't thinking about kids' toys. So
right. And especially probably, too, as MP3 players and other technologies, eventually, like the iPad, for example, like, as prices on that stuff came down, there's almost less of a need for toys that do similar things. Simply because you can get a better product that does that and much more at a price that you could still swallow.
Yeah.
To give to your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in a way, almost technology has evolved past the need for electronic kid-specific stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, shit, you could go on Amazon and buy the Fire tablet for $50. That's a perfect kid's tablet, and it's a full tablet. It's not fast, but it's $50, so if your kid breaks it or drools on it, you're not even that upset.
So, I mean, at this point, I think really the only... And this is actually, I'm noticing this is a good tie-in to the last notes I wrote on this topic, is... That really, at this point, with that in mind, what I was just saying, the only kid-specific electronic toys or musical toys that you're going to buy are for like really little kids, like toddlers maybe, you know, because they always have to have, you know, specific toys for, you know, very young ages.
Yeah, usually they make it more durable.
Exactly. And so I guess this is the final point I'll say on this whole topic is that I didn't know that Hip Clips, there was like a spin-off version called Kid Clips that was aimed at this younger audience. To my knowledge, it was the same idea, except basically the music cartridges were more chunky and friendly for children.
They
didn't have to make them taste bad in order to not have to not eat them. But from what I can tell, the song selections, the only songs they really offered were like songs from Sesame Street and other various like animated Disney movies from the 90s. Like I saw Lion King.
Little Mermaid.
And yeah, Little Mermaid, stuff from that era. Mm-hmm. Probably Beauty and the Beast as well.
That makes sense.
So I don't know I don't really know any details beyond the fact that it did exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know like what time frame that existed as well. So maybe that did actually last longer than Hit Clips proper, simply because it was so far off from the competing MP3 world it actually could have an audience.
I was going to say, I would be more apt to say that something like that would have lasted longer because it's meant to be durable for children. You can't give a child, a 4-year-old, an iPod. Well, you could, right. But
you shouldn't.
This actually did remind me, though, of one toy that I remember having that was sort of a musical children's toy. I don't remember the brand. It was probably Play School or something, but it was a children's record player. It was kind of a fake record player. Basically, it came with these little plastic fat discs.
Was this like the different colored plastic discs?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That you put in and it plays like Mary Had a Little Lamb or stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
I very vaguely remember that as a child. And this is obviously the sort of, I guess, the evolution of that to a degree.
So the technology behind that was basically, I mean, if I remember correctly, it's like a cheap version of a music box.
Yeah.
That sort of technology. So it wasn't an actual record. It was just like little divots on the records that were hitting little things.
Yeah, like, yeah, whatever, exactly. Something it was like a glorified record music box for children. But I very vaguely remember owning that toy. Obviously, I must have been like 3 or 4 maybe at best. But that was a children's specific musical device, I guess.
Yeah.
And this seems to kind of be the natural evolution of that. You go from child-specific records to child-specific MP3s.
Yeah. So I guess at the end of the day, you know, considering the rise and fall of Hit Clips, I'm thinking so. It probably, if you want more of what I guess you would call like a slow burn over longer period of time, but maybe not as many sales, you might go into, you know, toddler age products for this sort of thing. If you wanted to make a lot of money quickly and cash out and then leave because it's not horribly relevant in comparison to better technology, then I guess Hit Clips, it's like the regular product, is a better option. But I can see how it didn't really last longer than it did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we talked longer about Hit Clips than how long they were
actually
around.
Than anyone ever has.
Yeah. Exactly.
The board meetings they had at Tiger Electronics
were probably shorter than, the minutes from that meeting were like, hey, we need something cheap to sell kids that's more affordable than MP3. How about Hit Clips? Okay. Done.
And then Tony the Tiger stands up and says, that's it!
Because he's the CEO of Tiger. God dang.
Clips are great.
Terrible. That would have been a good tie-in, though. Like, to get him in, like, cereal or some shit.
Yeah.
Hey,
kids. You know the brand that makes Hit Clips? Well, it has Tiger in the name. Tony the Tiger is a cereal. It's not the cereal name, but he's on the cereal. So, buy stuff.
You are an ad man if I ever heard one.
You know what's not great, listeners?
What?
It's Funk Radio.
Terrible. You need to be more positive, Peter.
All right. Tell us something positive on Facebook, listeners.
At facebook.com/getyourfunk.
If you're getting your funk on SoundCloud that we don't need to tell you that we're on soundcloud.com/getyourfunk.
We're also on mixcloud.com/getyourfunk. You can listen to pretty much all of our episodes on there. We're also on the Google Store, but we're not on iTunes, ironically, since we just talked about iTunes for the last hour. Or at least,
yeah, go to the Google Play Store, maybe Google Play Music, I think, and look for us in the podcast section. We're there somewhere.
If you guys can think of any other obsolete music technology that you want us to discuss, let us know. Otherwise, this is Kyle signing off.
And this is Peter.
Rogue leader.
Yeah.
Rogue Peter.
More things next time. Bye, listeners.
Bye.